Oh, wait. I'll show you what we brought.
Oh.
Do we want to do a soundcast?
I mean, we're casting. It's going to be like the pre part, right?
Oh, sure. Maybe. All right.
Okay, hold on. We brought fish sticks.
Oh, Jesus.
And.
Oh, no. This is no way. This is good. You should not have done this.
Custard.
Oh, gross.
So,
and we're going to sit here and watch Jay eat it.
We're handing out this custard.
I will not.
You are going to. You're going to eat it. You're going
to
love it.
Custard has to have something in it I'm allergic to.
I don't think you can have the custard. It has half and half in it.
Okay.
But you can have fish sticks.
Oh, I love fish sticks. Okay, this is a live, on-air... eating of fish fingers and custard because these kids are gross.
It's a lot of ASMR right here.
So I went on bakingdom.com and found a recipe for cookies to make them look like fish sticks.
Oh.
So they're fish fingers. They're cookie fish fingers.
Cookies and custard. That sounds delightful.
So that's what we worked on all day.
That is good work. Very good work.
Just pounding beer and cookies and custard.
This is how you start a podcast.
That's why that burp was a little bit thicker than normal. Got that custard in there.
Married
to podcast.
Is that reflective of the new theme?
Yeah, you got it.
I was going to say, it sounded different.
Yeah.
Oh, who dat though?
Oh,
turn your fucking phone off, man.
Jesus Christ. Redo the podcast. You know what? Fuck it. I'm leaving.
Thud.
Door open, close.
I'm back. Don't worry about that.
Boo, he's back.
No, boo you.
Welcome to Married to Who Podcast, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me this week are Alex, Cody, and Sam. No Jill this week. If you're new to this podcast, some warnings up front. We're going to swear.
Butts.
And we're going to drink, so you might hear some cans, you might hear some burps. And we have a baby, so you're going to hear a baby.
He's very happy tonight. His legs are just going.
That's our bottles.
Okay, don't ever do that again.
We're going to have a Married to Who ASMR podcast.
This week, we're here to talk about The 11th Hour, written by Stephen Moffat, directed by Adam Smith. Aired April 3rd, 2010. We've done it, guys. We are in the Smith and Moffat era.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is this the best era?
With all of the HDs, all the colors, everything.
I hate those last two seasons that didn't have indigo. It was bullshit.
Alex.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this story?
I am super jazzed. And this story makes me just excited.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Cody?
Mm. I hated the story, but I loved everything about the episode.
Okay.
That's weird.
The story was just so dumb. But I could tell the episode was just here to get Matt Smith up and running. Like, we'll talk about it.
We will.
But.
It's the whole reason we're here.
The whole Patient Zero bullshit. I didn't like it.
Hey, now your turn.
Patient Zero.
Sam?
So into Tennant, it was really hard, especially with his first episode, him being unconscious for a majority of it. This was a much more welcoming to the new Doctor, I believe. And it's a lot easier for me to jump on board more quickly than it was with Tennant. So
right.
It was nice.
I believe that's very on purpose. Yeah, I really like this story. Also, I think it's a great introduction to a new Doctor, a new companion, a new showrunner, a new style that the show is going to have, a new TARDIS, a new sonic screwdriver. Mm. It's also a new jumping on point. This is a story where if you've never seen Doctor Who before, this could be your first one. You could just jump on right here, which is very intentional. Anytime you have a new showrunner take over, you're going to get a lot of new eyes. Anytime you have a new doctor, you're going to get a lot of new eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always new 5 to 8-year-olds out there who are going to be watching for the very first time.
Would you say this is like another Eccleston reboot? Like, this is what they're trying, like, they're not trying to continue, it's just, like, new. Let's go again.
They are continuing, and so did Eccleston.
Well, yeah, but it was new Doctor and companion and showrunner.
Yes, much as like I literally this. Just said, it was intended to be a point where you could start watching the show without having ever seen any of it.
It really did feel like a brand new start.
Yeah.
Like they cut all ties. They
But they do reference the scene at the end where they show all 10 previous Doctors to let you know this is the same show.
That was
let's
a great
go,
scene.
Buddy. Here we go. That part is fantastic. The part where he's meeting the new what the hell is her name? Amelia?
Amy. Amelia Pond. Yeah.
Okay, Amy. All that part is fucking great until we start to get into the arc with the monster. It's just so garbage. But why? Everything around is so fantastic. With the way that you see the TARDIS being recovered, with the way that you see the brand new things coming out, the new sonic screwdriver, the new TARDIS, the new Doctor when he was getting dressed up. That was all so fucking good. The monster was such side garbage that didn't even need it.
You need conflict.
The monster was really side story.
If you break down most Doctor Who episodes or most science fiction stories, the monster is pretty side bullshit most of the time.
What was the Water of Mars? How side bullshit was that monster?
Monster, you don't even see the monster. It's just
completely
people.
Ran the entire story.
No,
it was a story between the Doctor and the
yeah, that was F8.
I'm sorry.
That was the difference between Fate and what was it? What did he? Flim and Flam, the one or the other. You can change it or you can't.
Right, Flim and Flam.
Flux.
Were you talking
in Flux or Fix or Flux? That's the. Fix or Flex.
Yeah, the point of that story was to show the Doctor going too far by trying to save people that shouldn't have been saved. And whatever the monster was didn't really matter. It could have been anything. Could have been a hurricane.
That's a fair assessment. I'll take that. But this one is just so fucking doesn't matter.
Right.
All the way down.
Well, I'll tell you who it does matter to. Amelia. Because she's got a crack in her wall and it's fucking terrifying.
It's spooky.
So before we just go through every point in 20 seconds, as you're trying to do, let's start at the beginning, the part you described as being so wonderful. The Doctor crashing in Amelia's backyard while she's praying to Santa to have someone
she
come.
She was praying to Santa.
Praying to Santa
like,
around
that.
Easter?
Well, she's like, it's Easter now, so I'm sorry if I'm waking you. Just great. Yeah, Doctor crashes, Amelia gets up because she thinks her prayers have been answered, a policeman's there, and then Doctor's just an insane person for 10 minutes, and we have the couple of lovely scenes between those two people.
Oh, yeah.
The Doctor's trying to find himself in the culinary world.
That and the food, he runs into a tree.
That's right.
That was
his
really
navigation
funny.
Systems yeah. are off.
Doctor's great.
What did we decide the Doctor was? I said eccentric, but that wasn't the
eclectic?
Word. Eclectic.
He was still cooking.
Yeah,
he was still cooking.
I love that line.
The part where he throws the grappling hook up out of the TARDIS, pulls himself up. I will admit it was kind of strange when he did because he's got a grappling hook and a rope, right? So he's like pulling himself up by the rope, but when he gets both of his hands on there, he's just like, he just like gophers up like there's no force of gravity whatsoever.
Well, he could have a foothold.
Maybe, yeah. And then he says...
I literally had the same thought when I was watching it today.
When he crashed, he fell back into the library. And Amy's like, well, why are you wet? Or, well, the swimming pool is in the library.
She says, I was in the pool. She said, you said you're in the library. And he goes, the pool is in the library.
Which is just a great freaking concept. Because he crashed, so the pool drained in the library, right?
Well, then it's matched at the end of the scene when he jumps back into the TARDIS... yells Geronimo, and then you hear a splash while the doors come
closed. Oh, that's
right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was good. I always love to hear about the different things that are inside the TARDIS. We never heard about no swimming pool.
Yeah, there's also, what did he say? There's a wardrobe? Because she was in her
There's always
gown.
Been a
We've
wardrobe,
We've seen the
though,
wardrobe.
Yeah but...
in Tennant's first episode.
Yeah.
And then they go back into the bedroom. Wait, no. They go into the kitchen.
Well, yeah, we get all the fun food stuff in the kitchen.
That is my favorite line.
What's that?
The whole part.
The whole thing.
Your Scottish fry something.
Beans are bad.
He's just like
buttered bread.
Over.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Tosses
just
it out.
Throws it out the door.
Frisbee.
You stay out.
This food is bullshit.
Just like RTD made a lot of Cardiff jokes during his time because they shot in Cardiff. Moffat's going to make a lot of Scottish jokes because he is Scottish.
Nice.
So yeah, with the Scott, you're Scottish, fry something. That's one of many. And the companion also being Scottish makes it ripe for those kinds of jokes. Yeah, maybe my favorite line in that sequence is when they finally get to talking about the crack in Amelia's wall. Or she's talking about not having any parents and her aunt being out and the doctor saying, "You're all alone." She's like, "I'm not scared." He says, "No, of course you're not. Box falls out of the sky, man falls out of the box, and look at you, you're just sitting there." Tells me that must be one hell of a scary crack in your wall.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked how he kept tying back to the crack, because like that was the first thing she said to him. And he, like, when he's pulling himself out of the box, he's like looking at her. He's like, "What do you mean the crack?" And then he like got hit with regenerative pain, right, or whatever, and then went on this big food thing. But he keeps coming back to the crack because he's concerned about it.
And that's something Moffat's really good at in his dialogue, and you'll see him do that a lot, is kind of play with the, you know, where he eventually wants to go, kind of like on the periphery of a conversation, mm-hmm, and then circle back to it. And then Matt Smith, you'll see him a lot if you really, you know, watch these episodes 1,000 times like I have. When she says that, he gives a real pointed look and then just continues being insane. And when they are walking up the stairs to go to her room to look at the crack, he pauses and looks at that door that you can't see and like just kind of like points his head towards it and then just turns around and goes back into the room. Like, he knows there's something there.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find out that what he just did means anything for like 20 minutes.
That's crazy. That's really good.
Also, when he asked her if she was scared, she said, "Not really, you're just kind of weird." Right. Because she thought he was talking about himself.
Got him good. Murdered. By words.
So they solve the crack. Everything's fine. Doctor's like, "Hey, I'll be back in 5 minutes." And does not come back in 5 minutes.
Was anyone surprised by that?
He has a clock, like a by-the-minute clock in his goddamn TARDIS now. True. And he those still just, can't make it happen.
Those are just numbers that flip. Just because they come from a clock doesn't mean...
I thought there would be some sort of relative attachment in time.
When has the Doctor ever exhibited any ability of flying the TARDIS?
Absolutely never. But now he's got really cool dial. Well, I suppose not yet. He doesn't.
But at the very end, when she's like, "I need to be back in the morning," and he's like, "It's a time machine. You can be back 5 minutes from now." Really, man? Because 14 years ago, he's still here.
You're working on years here.
She still went with him, and she knows that is not true.
Yeah.
Right.
So when you guys are watching it, did you at any moment think the companion could be a child?
I thought she was going to be a temporary companion.
Yeah.
Just for like a one episode companion. I thought she was going to be a companion as a child.
And then when he didn't come back, what did you guys think, with Police Amy, who you don't know who she is?
Well, they know by this point who Karen Gillan is.
I've seen pictures of her.
I had no idea.
So,
I thought
she
was I'm banking on Cody not knowing.
I thought she was a legitimate cop, but he was just busted.
So he was busted, and then, like, did you think something with the prisoner and Amy happened? Because, like, they were like, "She hasn't lived here for 6 months." Or that's what she said.
The prisoner didn't escape into the house. At that point, I was like, "So the prisoner wasn't there?"
Well, when the doctor leaves and Amelia goes and packs her bag, they show her run by the door and it's closed, and then run by again and it's open.
And it was open. That's right.
Yeah.
And then they show a shadow run in front of the camera when she's sitting outside.
Oh, I didn't see the shadow. What the fuck?
Yeah, I did see that, and I didn't remember that from before. But then I was just thinking maybe it was like a cut transition thing, but
like a screen wipe.
Something, yeah. It was weird. I don't know. It was weird.
I thought Amelia had been taken, and Amy, I thought she was a police officer, because I've only seen pictures, so I legitimately thought that.
Okay.
I was like,
"Oh, okay,
yeah. They're police officers. Nice. Are a little skimpy over
there."
Well,
and she does that line that is purposely supposed to be misleading, where she like talks into a radio and says he's asking questions.
That
He knows something about Amelia Pond.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so smart.
The doctor's not paying attention to that, so that's just to fuck with the audience.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was really good.
No, it was
the
right
whole build up.
I feel like it was right when he woke up so that she did it, so he thought she had backup.
Yeah. Right. I just mean, like, the doctor doesn't mention it, so it's not part of the story. It's just for us.
Yeah. And then how about on the reveal when they're arguing in the backyard and the dog dude's there and he's like, this is important. This shed is 12 years old. And she's like, why'd you say 5 minutes? So was that kind of crazy when you saw it, when you got that?
I think before we got to that, I was like, I think this is that girl.
Yeah.
When she took off the hat and was like surprised that,
oh, I'm a kiss, whatever.
Yeah.
Kissogram.
Kissogram.
Yeah. It came out that she wasn't a cop. And I was like, so why the fuck are you doing? Oh, this is Amy.
Okay.
That does have what will be one of my nominations for.
Oop. But she had big hair, big red hair, and the kid had big red hair. So I was like,
well, they're Scottish. Yeah. They all have big red hair.
True.
Or the doctor says, why did you pretend to be a policewoman? And she goes, you broke into my house. It was this or French maid.
Also, what's a kiss girl?
Kissogram.
Kissogram.
It's like a telegram, but with kisses.
She goes to parties and she kisses people.
Yeah, so she's a professional partier. Does she stay at the party?
I don't know.
How far does this go?
She is a stripper. She shows up to the party and she
is not a stripper.
I didn't think it would be a stripper, though.
She is the Eastern equivalent to our Western strippers.
No, I totally have. No. First of all, they're not in the East.
they're east of us.
Well, we're Western.
Okay. No, I have friends that have done this job, but like for Miller Lite, where they go to parties and they're just dressed slutty and they just like hand out koozies and buttons and t-shirts.
Called.
Yeah, they
promoter girls
or
something.
Do you remember Amy that worked at Pratt's?
Yeah, she does.
She did that.
And then a girl I went to college with does it too.
Like the
promo girls.
The booze place we got here does it all the time. Hatting out.
The booze place.
But no.
Happy Harry's?
Yeah.
Happy Harry's. You used to work there. Right?
Fuck off.
You could like hit it with a baseball if you just threw it that way.
No, that they when they do their little beer days, they have like three scantily clad ladies there that are usually working like either the growler station or they're doing a beer stand somewhere.
Handing out cheese.
Andrea's sister Heidi used to do that. And I was like working at the hub and she just shows up. I think it was planned, but her and a couple other girls show up with like a big cooler full of Miller Lite and they're just like wearing like referee shirts that are cut down to nowhere and just fucking let's party.
Damn.
Crazy. All right.
They always have a bunch of hot ladies.
So Amy parties.
Banging dudes.
So anyways, off of that line that you were talking about, I also like the one where she's at her grandma's house and she's like,
that's not her grandma. That's
just her aunt. Aunt's house.
No.
Isn't that her aunt?
So the town they're in is super small.
Oh,
so everyone knows everyone.
Everyone just knows everybody.
I thought that was her aunt because I thought that's who she used to stay with because it
no,
seemed
the
like...
house is her Aunt Sharon's house.
Yeah.
But the house
or
they
she
were
stays
in
stays there with her Aunt Sharon.
Yeah. They just went into someone random house. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. The doctor just ran into the
and
closest
they know
house.
Everything about her as a little girl drawing.
Well,
she's
a very small town.
That's crazy.
She grew up. Yeah.
And
anyways,
this is
I really like that line in there too.
Yeah.
This was also purposely done by Moffat. That he wanted a small town because, you know, some fans didn't like that everything was happening in London all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moffat was just like, everything always happens in London. Let's pick somewhere else. Were you a little spooked with like Amy finally noticing that door and then going in there and all the corner of your eye and finally seeing Prisoner Zero?
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy monster.
Yeah, it was a good reveal.
Yes.
I like that.
The whole neck to nowhere thing is, it just bugged me though.
Yeah. It's weird.
I just hate
it. Like, it looks like it's being fed from like a tube or something because it's pulsating and it looks like it's moving from the ceiling towards the head of Prisoner Zero.
Is this a fake town?
Leadworth?
Yeah.
Maybe.
About the title of this episode,
it was all within 11 to noon, the 11th hour.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when he goes, when she goes into that room and he says, and she finds the sonic screwdriver, oh, I must have dropped it. Yes. And it jumped up onto this table. And it was all covered in goo. Because the monster guy had picked it up, put it on the table.
Oh, yeah. So Leadworth is fictional. All right. So after all the house stuff, Dr. and Amy run around the town. They invade Dickon and his grandma, and then that's the guy with the laptop. He's Dickon Tarly in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
Pause.
Okay.
The guy with the laptop. I'm trying to remember so hard.
The good-looking guy.
Oh, that's right.
With the grandma.
Then, yeah, that super was Deckon. Yep, for sure.
He's also in Umbrella Academy as the,
yep, the really big
the ape man.
Yep. I included that for you in
fun facts.
They run around the town. The duck pond of no ducks. The guy whose car Amy traps the doctor in by his tie. And then we meet Rory and all the people in the park who are just pointing their phones up at the end of the world instead of doing anything.
Yeah, Doctor Who making a statement with that one.
Felt real bad about, or for Rory when she's like, oh, this is Rory. It's like, I'm her boyfriend, kind of boyfriend. It's just real awkward.
She says friend and he says boyfriend. And she's like,
And then when the doctor's changing, she's just like staring him down. And he's like, aren't you going to turn? And she's like,
nah.
Nope. Now when there's a show going on.
Now we do see that she's at the end that she has a wedding dress in her room. That is 2 years later. So absolutely anything could have changed.
2 years later from this episode.
From this moment you just said.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
But not from the next episode.
No, why would this be later than next episode?
I don't know. The way you said it made it sound like it was like back and then we're
At the end of this episode, we see a wedding dress. And that is 2 years later than what you're saying right now.
But it's not 2 years. Whatever,
it
man.
Is. The doctor leaves at the end of the episode and comes back. And Amy goes, later. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago from this story, not the end of the episode. You said at the end of the episode.
No, I didn't.
Playback. Play, DJ, playback.
He said the wedding dress is at the end of the episode.
Right.
Which is 2 years after what we're talking about right now.
The story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jake just flicked him off. That was good. Good call up top, bro. You got it. What? You got him.
No.
Oh.
What do you think of the scene when the doctor's trying to remember what's going on or what he just saw? Like he saw something important but can't remember, and so they do like the Matrix-y
Cody
time.
Hated it.
What?
It was too long.
I was trying to think how they did that.
They just took pictures.
They took a ton of pictures. They probably just like ran a camera that route and then halved the frame rate
and then,
or something.
Yeah, they just cut specific images.
But it was cool.
You don't have to take pictures anymore.
The idea.
Cameras.
I was imagining they had like hundreds of cameras and they did like the Matrix thing where it was like weird, but never mind.
Too much.
So
it was a great idea. It was just too drawn out.
So they won't do that again in Doctor Who. But they do it all the time in Sherlock, which Stephen Moffat runs.
Oh.
And Matt Smith actually auditioned for, I learned today.
Really?
And
that Cumberbatch got it?
That Cumberbatch became a global superstar.
Yeah.
All right, Cody. Complain about stuff.
What you got? Seconds.
No, we're way past that.
We're 40 minutes into the podcast.
No, that segment's done. We're in a brand new...
He started by going through the whole episode.
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit there. What other did I feel like we went through the complaints? The monster's real dumb. So this monster is smart enough to escape the Atraxi for 12 years, but not fucking smart enough to talk through the appropriate mouth.
It wasn't 12 years. Because the only reason the Atraxi found him when the doctor got there is because the Atraxi were tracking the doctor.
Yeah, but the Atraxi, or Prisoner Zero escaped before the doctor ever showed up in this story, so it's been at least 12 years. We don't know how long the crack's been there.
Maybe the Atraxi weren't searching Earth for 12 years.
Because the Atraxi came through the crack. Like,
they came the long way.
But the eye was there and was looking for
it when it escaped.
So,
Prisoner Zero. So Prisoner Zero didn't, like, do anything to escape the Atraxi. A crack just appeared in its cell, you can assume. And it's just like, ooh, well, I'll just step through here.
They moseyed out.
Live in this girl's house.
And then proceeded to be such an idiot that he linked himself to a guy, but he's a multiform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he needs two bodies to transform into.
Doesn't need two bodies.
He doesn't. No.
Doesn't. He needs one body.
He transforms into whatever they're dreaming about.
Or yes.
When he...
Yep. Mm.
So that guy had a bunch of pictures of his dog on his coma bed.
Yeah, that's right.
Coma bed.
On his coma bed. On his coffee table.
Yeah, and then
he's barking through the guy's mouth like some idiot.
Well, he says later, or Prisoner Zero says later when it's Olivia Colman, that it's really hard when there's multiple mouths.
But it's also like human. He doesn't know how humans work.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah, well,
12 years are a pit stop compared to
well, sure, zero. But is 12 years a pit stop for his education? Because shit.
Well, he is a prisoner.
It's a weak.
Let's just assume he's a meth head.
There we go. It's a weak complaint. I just don't like this monster. Don't bitch about him.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I
like the mouths though. That when
the kids and the mom.
If like an 8-year old kid's watching this, that's fucking terrifying.
That is horrifying.
The piranha teeth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the dude can like mysteriously just transfer into this orange mist.
Yeah.
And I think the real bad guy was the Atraxi, technically, in this episode.
Well, it was the threat to Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Caused by the Atraxi locking our atmosphere. And then baking us inside. That is a threat that scientifically makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
Thank you, Moffat. Bringing realistic fear into Doctor Who. I appreciate it.
Nice.
I love how the Doctor scolds the Atraxi, too.
Oh, man.
That's great.
What, you didn't think anyone would be watching? Get back here.
You come back here right now.
Say my name.
He throws the phone back to Rory and goes, well, now I've done it. He's like, yeah. He's like, did he just call them back here?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that entire sequence is just so good.
Dude, and he's putting on a show, just flexing.
Put on a show.
Yeah. Oh. And then he walks through, like, they have the sequence of the doctors showing in, like, that blue aura deal. And then he steps through it, and he's got, like, his doctor uniform on, which is okay.
Doctor uniform?
You don't like it?
It's good.
Bow ties are cool.
I'm so used to Tenet, jacket. And Tenet was just cool.
Yeah.
This uniform is unique.
That big...
It's not what I consider cool.
Stop calling it a uniform.
I like Tenet's suits.
The big outfit.
The big coat. Both him and Captain Jack... You know, in Torchwood and the couple of episodes that he has in Doctor Who.
Oh, the trench coat.
I don't like the big coat.
Yeah. He looks like a professor.
Well, it's...
He's got like a tweed jacket on. Yeah. He's got pants that appear to be 2 inches too short.
What year was this? 2011?
Cool.
Was this 2011?
No, 10.
2010.
2010? Is this the rise of the millennial fashion? Is that...
No, if you see...
It's edgy. It's just like an edgy outfit.
If you see Matt Smith around this time... That's essentially how he dressed. Boots, tight, like skinny jeans, some 80s band t-shirt, and three necklaces and sunglasses and floppy hair.
Perfect. It's perfect for Matt Smith.
His hair, though. Damn.
Hair's good.
He was, at this point, well, and still, the youngest actor ever cast as the Doctor. Stealing the mantle from Peter Davison, who is in his early 20s or mid-20s in... He's the fifth Doctor.
I thoroughly enjoy Scottish accents.
23?
This is great.
Really?
Amelia and Amy?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was really 23?
No. Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. Wow. I believe it. He looks so young.
He does look pretty young.
Compared to like The Crown?
Well, one of the reasons he was cast is because he both looks very young and very old. So there are going to be scenes later where, like, he's saying, like, I'm so old, and it looks like he really is. And because he's almost 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
The Doctor, the character.
Oh, we got Sonic paper real quick. A couple times.
26.
Oh.
But he's, he used the Sonic paper to tell NASA and stuff.
Yeah, he got the Sonic paper from the
26
Atraxi. Like,
the
message.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, when he like hacked into the world meeting about what's going on,
how crazy was that? the way he solved this monster problem though was very fun. I was super engaged
writing the superhuman
solution.
Yes,
that was awesome.
That was incredible.
Hoota man,
he's got that. Suddenly there's zeros everywhere, so the Atraxi would see clearly zeros here on the planet. Then they would focus on where this virus was coming from. Mm-hmm. It was the Doctor's phone, and they're right there with the Atraxi.
Yeah,
fucking genius.
Good shit.
Well done. Just, I'm sorry, RTD, but damn.
And tracing it back to a phone that has all the pictures of
every form
of Prisoner Zero on there, and then Prisoner Zero's like, "Oh, I'll just be Amelia."
Something else, yeah.
And then I love when
double shift.
I love when it's
happened before. Oh my god!
Because Amelia's or Amy's thinking of the doctor. Prisoner Zero takes the form of the doctor, and Matt Smith's like, or the doctor's like, "That's rubbish. Who's that supposed to be?" Yeah. And Rory's like, "You,
you so, don't you know?"
Like? And he goes, "You don't know what you look like." He goes, "That's been a long day, a busy day." He says,
"Yeah, worst line. Who the man?"
Who
the man? So glad they.
Oh, that was so funny.
It was an inside joke. Yeah. The fact that they made fun of it made it good. But yeah. If he would have rolled with it and like that would have been a catchphrase, I would have.
I made that joke like 15 episodes ago in our podcast where I made some dumb, said some dumb line and I was like, I'm never doing that again.
So, second Geronimo.
Mm.
Is that confirmed?
Confirmed.
Catchphrase.
Confirmed catchphrase.
Yeah. All right.
His sonic screwdriver is green.
The way it came out of the TARDIS was amazing.
Yeah.
That was great.
Also, the colors of the TARDIS, like the light coming out of the windows was like yellowish.
Can we gush about this son of a bitch? Yeah. This TARDIS is beautiful. Oh my God. Yeah. There's actual. The biggest thing I didn't like about the TARDIS was everything was like some sort of analog switch in just the scene. This is like automated. Automated switches. It's got that weird moving dial. He's got a little ching chinger.
I was sold. The hot cold.
There's some blue boringers. You'll learn about those later.
Oh my God. Yes, please.
The colors are gorgeous. It looks very modern. They did a great job with it.
It's the so glass good. Blowing for like the centerpiece to go up and down.
That was a big thing. There's. Yeah. You can do this. I don't think there's any spoilers, but maybe I'll watch it. There is like a YouTube video from 2010 where they do a tour. Like the creator of the TARDIS, the production designer, does a tour and shows you everything in there. And they're very proud of that big glass thing because obviously it's...
It was hard to make and expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, it has multiple floors. So you can see when you enter, you're below the console room. You have to walk up some stairs to get there. They have a coat rack at the entryway. Which the old doctors always had, and David Tennant always had to throw his coat on like the... But there's stairs behind the console that go off into like corridors that you can't see.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. But yeah, it's bigger set. You'll see as we go, it allows for some fun camera work, things you can do with just
in
a bigger
the TARDIS.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Nice. That's you don't really see a lot of stuff in the TARDIS.
Right.
Ever. So I'm hoping they bring that.
Oh, remind me when we're done here, there's like a 1 minute mini-sode directly following this that leads into the next story that we can watch on YouTube.
Okay. I'm in.
It's called Meanwhile in the TARDIS number one. I think there's two or three of those.
Mm, perfect.
Okay. So TARDIS is great.
Yeah.
Sonic screwdriver.
Great. I might buy that. I will probably buy a replica of that fucker. That is so cool.
We talked about this before, Cody. You, at times, really have a problem with the sonic screwdriver. Matt Smith, that thing is attached to his fucking arm.
It's like, in every scene.
It would be. It should be.
He cannot not. Because he's so physical in his acting. He's constantly moving around, like, ducking and look like waving his arms around. Yeah. So you give him the screwdriver, and he just can't fucking help himself. When you hear, like, if you watch any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like if you guys get the DVDs or whatever, which are all at Terry's house right now, they constantly talk about how it's impossible to get Matt Smith to stop moving. And anytime he gets something new, like if they give him a hat or something, he's like, this is the best thing ever. I have to have this all the time. And they have to like pry it away from him.
That's at the beginning when he's looking at the crack in the wall. I'm pretty sure that there was a camera mistake because he had the sonic screwdriver in one hand, then the other hand, then the other hand, like back-to-back takes. And I can see with him moving around so much how that would happen.
I did notice when he was first like up against the wall talking, and then it like cut over to Amelia and he was like next to her, like you could see
with
his hand.
Opposite hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it like went back to him and he's still up against the wall. So yeah, it was
and back to the right hand.
There's
there's
a scene at the end when he's up on the roof with the Atraxi where there's a camera shot from really far away and you see him like jolt and reach his hand into his jacket pocket, and then it cuts to a close up of him, and then he jolts and reaches his hand into his jacket pocket to pull out the TARDIS key because it's glowing. So yeah,
I didn't catch that one.
This was the first time I ever saw it, but I've heard people mention it.
That's a tricky one. I'd miss that one.
Okay.
Cinema Sins.
Does his sonic screwdriver expand? I thought I saw him do the little click, click.
It like popped open, it looked like.
Yeah. Fucking sweet. You'll see.
Oh my God.
It's quite large.
I hope he only
He's also
uses
broken
it
a few of them.
Like, oh, they weren't even done with like the first story they shot before they had to make a new one for him. He immediately broke it.
Because I assume he just drops it all the time.
So this wasn't the first story they shot. I'll mention which one it is when we get there. But yeah, there's a fun in the behind the scenes of that where they're just like, we showed him the screwdriver. He was so excited. Like, it took so much work from these props people and these designers, and he immediately broke it.
Jeez.
All right, we talked about the TARDIS, we talked about the screwdriver. What y'all think about Amelia / Amy?
I like her. She's sassy.
She's fitting to be Alex the best, is doing the best companion. She's fucking banging.
Number
she's
one doing is the, that MVP.
No, that's the Daniel Bryan yes chant.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
She's great.
I love Amelia. So much fun.
There was a funny little scene. It just seems like she's not super comfortable in the miniskirt. Because you'll see her in specifically the one scene where after she locks his tie in the door, the doctor goes running off to the field. You see Amelia chasing after. When she jumps over the fence, she just like stops immediately. Like,
there were several scenes.
She's constantly pulling down on the skirt.
Yeah, they needed to get a longer skirt.
Right.
Something that should be a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
Few exceptions, they don't really sexualize Amy's character very much. Like, she is obviously very beautiful. She's a professional model before she ever did this.
She is gorgeous.
And she wears, like, a lot of just stylish but baggy clothes. There's not, like, a lot of cleavage or short skirts.
Yeah, I like her style.
There are eventually, mentions of her being attractive, mostly done by her. But they don't do a lot of, some of the stuff they did with Rose. Well, that's really not fair to say, but...
I don't feel like they overly sexualized any.
I guess I'm only thinking specifically of when Cassandra took over Rose's body.
Yeah.
Cassandra over sexualized everything.
Right.
Bitchy trampoline.
But we'll get into all that later. We only have one person left to talk about. What y'all think of Matt Smith as the Doctor?
Eclectic. Eclectic. He's all over the place. He's very
fun to watch.
Fast paced.
Yeah.
He's quick.
So I was talking with Jill on my drive home from work today, and so we've talked about like your doctor, like who's your doctor, and whenever I think of Doctor Who, I immediately think of David Tennant because that's like was kind of my first doctor, like getting into the series. So I kind of claim him as my doctor, but I like Matt Smith and his stories better, I think. I don't know. It's just, it's weird.
We'll probably already agree with you because the storytelling so far is already just,
well, and
it's vibing it, it's with Moffat. Me. Really
what, are,
well.
What are your favorite stories of the RTD era?
It's Moffat's.
Moffat's story.
It's Moffat's stories.
Fuck.
So that's the thing.
Like,
so it's
Blink, Silence in the
it's
Library.
It's kind of a
Blink was garbage.
Girl in the Fireplace.
It's kind of a like a.
All those other ones were really good.
Yeah.
The Are You My Mommy?
But yeah.
Murder. Oh yeah, Moffat. My boy. Yeah, this season's gonna be fucking
Smith.
Great.
Smith as the Doctor, I really, really enjoy watching. He's just great to watch on screen. Amazing.
I've never had a problem with maybe the exception. Being Capaldi, who I think is my favorite of the new era doctors, with immediately being down with whoever the new doctor is. Like Jodie Whittaker, episode one, got it. She's a doctor. Same with Matt Smith in this one. The first time I saw it, I was like, I'm in. David Tennant, when that happened, for me, I didn't even know what the show was yet. And so when all of a sudden he's a new guy, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Let's go, buddy.
Like, oh, the bad guy from Gone in 60 Seconds isn't the doctor anymore.
That's right.
Forgot about that. I like him, but I need to see his, like, sad stories or his, like, emotionally trying stuff.
I want to see him when he's not cooking anymore.
Well, he's
done
cooking.
He didn't cook. He was... That was Amelia.
Oh,
no,
that
he cooking. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. His body cooking. Like, okay.
Stick with us, Alex.
Yeah, sorry.
Today, Alex is playing the role of the dumb one.
Yes. Today?
We all take turns.
I think I live in that dugout.
Anyone else have anything they would like to say about the 11th hour before we move on to our segments?
What about all the foreshadowing? All the
what?
Spookiness. Well,
that'll be in the fun facts.
Oh, okay. Like, when we were in the TARDIS, it, like, had the monitor with the crack still. And then what was the line? It was, universe is cracked, Pandora will open, silence will fall.
Oh, that's right.
That's, like, yep. Some crazy stuff.
Spooky
twos. Nuts.
Matt Smith said in an interview shortly after this episode, or maybe it was quite a bit later, that there are 5 things in this story to look out for over the course of the series.
Clearly, the wedding dress is an emotional play.
Oh, I didn't even think that that's one of them. I was thinking, like, I could only think of 3 or 4, but yeah, the wedding dress, I guess, could be the 5th one.
Like, that one is just so obvious. Like, that one's going to be a tearjerker, Nan, I guarantee it.
I always cry. Fair. I always cry at everything.
Fair stand. But what are the other 5?
I can't tell you.
I mean, 4. You can't tell me?
No, I can't tell you.
Okay.
Oh, here's the things that are going to happen in this season.
Well, to look for, yeah, I don't know. What's the title of the next episode?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Did you guys notice the snap?
Yep.
Wait, what?
No, the snap. You're burning all of my fun facts.
How are these fun facts? These happened in the episode.
Because we're going to have a whole segment on Moffat-isms.
Oh.
Things that Moffat brought back from his stories.
Okay, fine. There were no nightmare childs in this one, so... Don't worry about that.
Plural of child is children, not childs.
You don't know. Those could be ships. Then they would be childs, right?
How does that make sense?
I mean, if it's called the Nightmare Child, that's the name of the ship.
Yeah.
And you clone that ship.
If dicks are airships instead of penises, they're Dickens instead of dicks.
that's perfectly logical.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
No.
I don't know why that's the first
word. I got you.
Yeah, see, it makes sense to me. Like, if there was 2 Codys, you don't, like... I mean,
like if they're being,
if there were 2 Codys, we could finally get rid of one.
we'd have to.
Yeah.
If it's like beings, like a nightmare child coming to destroy you, like an entity, and then there's 2 of them, then they're nightmare children because they're beings.
Let's just agree it's nightmare's child.
There's somebody like, smarter.
Like brothers-in-law, but it's nightmare's child.
there's somebody smarter than us that's really good at the English language.
Yeah.
That could probably
Everyone knows
it.
What it is except you two.
No.
So when you say someone smarter than us,
I will die on this
else.
Fucking hill.
At us, a Married to Who pod.
There's no way to sustain it. Alex, give me the fun fact theme song, please.
Fun facts.
Fucking 10 out of 10, man.
I liked it.
Amy Pond's the first modern Earth companion since the series' arrival not to be from London. In the confidential for this episode, Stephen Moffat says that London set stories have become a cliche, and this was his attempt to avoid it. We already mentioned that.
Get Adam.
Caitlin Blackwood played Amelia. Her and Karen Gillan are real-life cousins.
Okay, I was going to mention that because I thought I heard that at some point, yeah.
And Karen Gillan convinced the producers to cast Blackwood in the role. The two had never actually met before.
Really?
Oh,
wow.
They had very similar mannerisms, like, on screen.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I do love Amelia's run. Like, there's a couple times she's, like, running back to the house to get her suitcase and running back outside. And even in the kitchen, just going from Matt Smith to the fridge, she runs a little bit. She has the most adorable little kid run. And then her little wellies and her coat and her hat. I wish they had been able to do like an episode with her as a companion.
Yeah. Is it weird to think that that actress is as old as Karen Gillan was in this episode now?
She has continued acting. She, this is obviously her first thing. She'd done like a short story or short film and maybe one other little thing. But she does have a couple things in post-production that are coming out next year. There was something in this story that had fans going insane for years when they're doing that that like click 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 of the doctor looking like trying to remember everything he saw in the park and zooming in on Rory. At one point it zooms in on Rory's name badge for his job as a nurse.
Yep.
It says that the badge is issued in 1990. And that that story takes place in 2008. So it would have to mean either the story was taking place at an earlier time in which they wouldn't have phones or the internet or whatever, or there's something going on with Rory.
Yeah.
So everyone went insane about this forever, and Moffat eventually confirmed that it was just a mistake.
That would be the worst, man.
Well, it what? Was. He said like, it was a mistake that went unnoticed. Like, they purposely zoom in on that fucking name badge. It had to have been something he was like, we'll do this. And then he, like, had an idea for a story later or something to weave in. And was just like, ah, fuck it. Like, it doesn't work with where I'm going.
Maybe the actor is just
I don't
like,
get why that's such a big deal. Back. Like, you can't get a thing established to you and then.
Because what? He would have been 4 years old. He would have been a child in 1990.
What's happening? Okay.
Because this
the badge was issued, so he would have to work there for.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah, this is 18 years later, and he's maybe 25 years old.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm with you. Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
And already being fired from his first nursing job at the only hospital.
Can we talk
in town.
About how much of a bitch face that doctor is? Fuck.
Yeah.
Just look at the damn phone.
Fuck, man.
Jesus.
Like that was after. They were already calling doctors. So clearly he didn't lie to you.
Yeah. So he proved that. And then now all of a sudden you don't want to believe him again. It's like, just shut up.
She has a bone to pick with this guy.
Sam, Jeez. You work at a hospital that's in a town that's considerably larger than the fictional town of Lidworth. How large is our coma ward? Because there's like 11 people in comas in Lidworth. Like they should shut the whole town down and find out what the fuck's going on.
That's like half the population.
There's clearly some kind of like leak into the water supply.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
It's like a brand new ward. I've never heard of a coma ward.
I just thought that was normal. Big old coma ward with like 12 people.
Every
in
population
it.
Has like 0.8% of its people in comas.
And also, there was like no privacy between the people. They were all right next to each other. How are families supposed to visit?
They're in coma. No one's listening.
And I don't think that they had like fluids running. Like they can't eat. It was. Medically not true.
The new TARDIS at the end has a feature on it, on the outside, that has not existed since the first Doctor's TARDIS in 1966, which is the St. John Ambulance badge on the front, like a little white circle on the right door. Very exciting for nerdy Doctor Who fans.
What does that symbolize? Oh, it's just
the first TARDIS had it.
Oh.
And then... Well, they're just like, what? Why would the TARDIS say St. John's Ambulance on it?
Yeah, I guess that's cool.
So I imagine the, you know, police boxes from back then also were ways that you could call any emergency service if you needed one.
Okay.
This is the first episode since Fear Her that had no on-screen casualties. Although I think the bitchy doctor you're talking about might, because Prisoner Zero is like up above her and kind of like opens his mouth in a snarl and then it cuts away.
Wasn't when they were in the hospital. Well, nothing was on screen. They really made it seem like everybody in the hospital was dead.
There was. Yeah, I mean, it was just you're right. As scary as this episode was, no one died.
that we saw.
Moffat is often accused of
never killing anyone.
Yeah.
The whole everybody lives thing.
Yeah.
And
still scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did Moffat write the one with the night termites? Nocturna.
The Vashinarada. Yes, he did.
So good.
But they're
so good.
Those people all die, but their consciousness are all downloaded into the
That's right.
computer.
There's no like permanent death.
To get into some Moffat-isms, there are a list on the TARDIS wiki, and then I found a couple other ones that they didn't mention. So Moffat really referenced his own previous stories a lot in this one. You know, it's his first one as the showrunner. Clearly he's gonna do some of his fun things. The TARDIS wiki is like some of them are a little weak. Like libraries are mentioned on numerous occasions. Oh, cool, man. We know that the TARDIS has a library. the concept of meeting someone during multiple times of their life, which he did in Girl in the Fireplace.
Mm. I love how in this episode, him meeting Amy at different times of her life is mainly just him being bad at driving.
Right.
Like, that just reinforces that joke, and it's so good. He
cannot drive a TARDIS.
So bad at it.
How he makes it anywhere is beyond me.
The Doctor also says the phrase wibbly wobbly timey wimey, which is a Moffat thing from Blink and that Minnesota Watch Time Crash that's the two Doctors in it.
Oh, it's a Moffat thing. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He texts Duck to Amy as he wrote Duck on the wallpaper to Sally Sparrow and Blink.
Oh.
He opens the TARDIS by snapping his finger, which he had the Doctor do in
Silence in the
Library.
One.
Yeah. Force of the Dead, Silence in the Library. Is that the way it goes? And then. Oh, yeah. And then every other writer after that just ignored it. So his first one, he's like, nope, he can do it all he wants.
So are writers just trying to like put in some cool stuff and hope other writers catch on and do it again? Or is he just
I think Moffat had a pretty good idea by the time Science and Library came out, if not during production, that he was going to be the next showrunner.
They know that far in advance?
Yeah.
Wow.
Takes a really long time to assemble a team.
When was that, a year and a half ahead of time then that he knew?
I would assume it'd be a couple years. He said somewhere in the TARDIS wiki, it said that he had told RTD a year before Tennant's final episode that he had already started writing the 11th hour.
Mm.
One that I found that TARDIS Wiki did not have is when the Doctor goes into Amelia's room and scans the crack with the screwdriver. He goes, oh, you've had some cowboys in here, which is exactly what he says to Madame de Pompadour when he's getting in her brain.
Oh, wow. All right.
And then something that I know Cody hates, and I do too, is the bad guy repeating a line over and over again. Mm. Like, how many times do we have to hear Prisoner Zero's Escape?
Yeah, that was one, a lot.
That was bad in this episode because it wasn't like an added effect and increasing in drama. It was just a thing everywhere, and that was just annoying.
But yeah, the end of...
After the third one, I knew it was like, oh, it's to the whole world.
The end of Science and Library, the first part, when that guy's just saying, hey, who turned out the lights, like 95 times, and then it's... And then you have the face of Donna saying Donna Noble has been saved.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Appreciate it. We know. Shut up.
I like to look at all the actors and see if anyone's been in Doctor Who before or Star Wars, Game of Thrones, or Harry Potter. Obviously, Karen Gillan, we talked about when she was in Doctor Who in Fires of Pompeii. She's also What's-Her-Nuts in the Avengers.
Nebula.
Nebula. Tom Hopper, who played Jeff, is fucking Dick on Tarly in Game of Thrones. He's also Luther Hargreaves in Alex and Sam's beloved The Umbrella Academy.
Can't wait for season two, baby.
Dick Hunt. He's so dead.
Arthur Cox, who is the guy who owned the car that Amy trapped the Doctor's tie in, and she's like, go have your coffee. He was in the 1968 story, The Dominators. The Doctor Who story, The Dominators.
Wow.
This was his final acting credit on IMDb. Oh, geez. He had 94 credits, and this was the last one. I looked him up. He's still alive. He's just 80.
I was going to say, I hope he's okay.
He's 85 now. He's just fucking kicking it, retired.
Damn.
Hopefully, okay. Hopefully doing well.
Going to cons.
Telling his great-grandkids about his 95 acting credits.
Olivia Colman is not in our list of things that people have to be in, but she did just win the Oscar last year for... The Favorite, the lead actress Oscar. So that's kind of a big deal to have an Oscar winner in our show. She also was in the five-ish Doctors reboot, which we'll talk about at a later date. Kind of a Doctor Who thing.
What did she win Best Actress for?
The Favorite, the thing I just fucking said.
Oh, I thought you said The Favorite, the Best Actress, that's it. Like, I thought that's what you meant. I didn't know that was the name of the
She's also thing. Going to, she's taking over for What's-Her-Nuts as the Queen in The Crown.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
She's done?
Matt Smith's not in it.
Yeah, they're doing a time jump.
Oh, shit.
And
I need to catch up. I need to catch up on that show.
And that, I don't know why they're sitting on this and it hasn't come out yet. Like, the second Olivia Colman won the Oscar, they should have dropped The Crown. And I have no idea why they did. Because it's been done for a while.
Oh, really?
Wow, but it's supposed to come out like late this year, early next year.
They should have dropped it hard when she won.
David DeKaiser was the voice of the Atraxii. He's done a lot of voices, including a Doctor Who video game. He was also the voice of Dumbledore and Voldemort in the Sorcerer's Stone video game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's fun.
That was a fun fact.
Alex.
Yo.
Can you please give me a Favorite Lines theme song?
Favorite Lines, yeah. I'm doing a lot of yes.
You did. It was a lot. So usually you do like the full exhale. This time the exhale was part of it, and it was
like a relaxed.
He's been watching those Kenny G videos, the circular breathing.
Oh jeez.
I have so many. First, or these are just nominations, and in order of watching it today. So you're Scottish, fry something. Again to little Amelia, I'm the doctor, do everything I tell you, don't ask stupid questions, and don't wander off. Like, if every companion would just listen to that, everything would be so much easier. Then again to little Amelia, you know when grown-ups tell you everything's going to be fine, and you think they're probably lying to you to make you feel better, and she says yes, and he goes, everything's going to be fine.
So good.
Grab hand.
Yeah. And then once he's handcuffed to the radiator by Amy, and he tells her not to go into the room, and she does. And he says, why does no one listen to me? Do I have a face that no one listens to again?
I was going to ask if that was a reference to something else.
Well, it's just that no one ever listens to him. Like, people are, again, the companions are always wandering off when he tells them not to.
She was very particular in not doing what he said, though. It was annoying.
Well, she's a strong, independent woman, and she's just pissed at this fucking dude because she's starting to realize who he is and what he did.
Well, you also have to, like, make the story move on, so I guess you got to go in there.
I already said this one, but why'd you pretend to be a policewoman? You broke into my house. It was this or a French maid. And then later the doctor asks her about something, the kissogram job, something like that. And she says, you're worse than my aunt. And he goes, I'm the doctor. I'm worse than everybody's aunt. Or he says aunt. I can't say aunt. I'm Midwestern, I say aunt. When the doctor and Amy and Rory are in the park and the doctor realizes he needs Jeff's laptop, he goes, not him, the good looking one. And Rory goes, thanks. And then Amy goes, Jeff? And then Rory goes, oh, thanks. like she immediately knows who the doctor's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Poor Rory.
Don't forget to delete your internet
history. I thought
Rory
was going to come with as a companion. I thought they were going to duo it for some reason.
Oh, I have the Huda Man because it's the whole thing. And the final score is no TARDIS, no screwdriver, 2 minutes to spare, Huda Man. Oh, I'm never saying that again. Fine. And then
I vote for that one. I don't care what you're going to say next.
At the very, very end, when the Doctor and Amy are in the TARDIS and she says, I'm in my nighty. Is it nighty or nightgown? Yeah, nighty's something else, right?
I think so, yeah.
She's like, I'm in my nightgown. And he goes, oh, don't worry. Plenty of clothes in the wardrobe and possibly a swimming pool.
Yes.
I love it.
Because he doesn't know where it is
now.
Well,
and the way Matt Smith delivers that line, so good.
Yeah.
Any other nominations?
Oh, that was all of them. And I guarantee you this entire season is going to have like 20 an episode because Moffat is fucking great.
Yeah.
I still say my favorite is at the beginning where he's trying all the different foods and just like...
Just the whole 10-minute scene is your favorite line?
Yes. Yeah.
That's fair.
It was really good.
You get out and you
wanna,
stay out.
If you want a fun... No one else have a nomination? So you're voting for Huda Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Huda Man was the best man.
Cody?
Mine's the one in the field when they're talking about Jeff. Oh, Jeff?
The good-looking one?
Thanks.
That's good, yeah. Sam?
The whole
thing. The whole thing. You're picking the one you nominated?
Yeah. It's great.
Just a litany.
Yeah, I'm really torn. I'm going to go for everything's going to be fine. The you know, grown-ups tell you everything's going to be fine.
The wholesome
one. We all win.
Jill.
Well, Jill's going to be the decider.
Oh, shit.
Future Jill. Time. She's going
to
pick it.
I changed my mind to whatever Jill said. We win.
I changed my mind to whatever Sam says. It's a tie.
All four of us win. Jake loses.
Clearly, my vote counts for 51%.
Oh, shit.
I always win. Man. The market share.
Alex?
Yo.
Can you please give me that Instagram and Twitter theme song?
Oh, you broke him with the combo. Insta Twitter, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. I don't
know.
No.
Let's try. Alice, hit me with the Twitter theme song.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
And Gram.
Sam, we get anything on Instagram?
Just likes.
Hooray. Thank you.
Thanks for the likes.
Thanks, Instagram.
We like you too. Double tap.
On Twitter, I posted. What the hell did I post? I posted tonight, Marriage a Gathering again to talk about the 11th hour. Super excited to start the Smith Moffat era, but I want to know what you thought about this story. Hit us up with your thoughts and help us generate some conversation. Fraser Gregory at Felix Fraser said, absolute perfection. Matt walks into the part with his doctor fully formed. No post-regeneration trauma or amnesia. He's just the doctor from the go and nails it. The script fizzes along with wit and the supporting cast have a blast. One of my all-time favorites. Mm. Yeah, we did say we liked the no regeneration amnesia or sleeping in bed all day or whatever. Yeah, I totally agree that Matt just hits the ground running and is totally the doctor right away.
But there was some like doctor cooking stuff though.
Yeah, but it's like a moment.
It was secondary. It wasn't primary.
But it's like he twitched his back and he ran into a tree.
Yeah. You can't just like eradicate it completely. If that you needed a little bit. That's like that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And it should be used for comedy. Like I don't know what my taste buds want versus I'm gonna lay in a bed for the whole story.
But it was also used to move the story along because he didn't know enough to see the perception filter because he wasn't formed yet, which made him like jump 12 years. So
and he was like always still in it and working on it, even if he wasn't 100%. He was still, you know, going.
He was there.
He was in it.
Yeah.
Even though
it was secondary. It wasn't primary.
Yeah. So when he's talking to Amelia, even though he's doing the dumb food thing, he's still the crack in the wall is always in his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good.
Whovian in the TARDIS, which is Whovian_TARDIS_, said, I love the speech of the Atraxi. It set a wonderful time for the rest of Smith's term on the show.
Wait, one more time.
The speech at the end?
The speech at the end.
Like,
fucking.
Is this planet protected?
Hello, I'm the doctor. Top tier. That might be the greatest line we've heard so far, to be honest.
The greatest line.
The what?
But
not MVP line. No, it's just I'm a comedy guy. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll always pick the laughs over the series.
And but then
the dad pointing down at the attracts, he's like, is this a thing? No. Is this a thing? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me do one more. And oh man, it was good.
You fucked. Yeah. Get off my planet, never come back.
Run.
Run.
Yeah. Then Hoovy and the TARDIS and Mrs. J and me had a small conversation that I can't tell you guys about. So thanks. Alex, please give me the Mrs. J. McCrimmon theme song.
Mrs. J. McCrimmon. You'll be hitting that subscribe button. Mrs. J. McCrimmon.
I literally thought you were just going to start masturbating.
He did seem very pleased with himself on that one.
Okay.
That was great.
That was good. I hope people in their own brains can have the two tracks.
That's what I was going for.
I heard. I followed it.
That's the second time Whovian has said something, right?
Yep. All right. From Mrs. McCrimmon at Mrs. J. McCrimmon. She says, okay, I drifted away from the show over the course of the 10th Doctor's era, not my cup of tea, but as is often the case with a new Doctor comes a new approach, so I tuned in expectantly. Love the opening shot mirroring what Rose and the Christmas Invasion opening shots were, the zooming in on Earth from space.
Yeah.
I was going to mention in my notes, but didn't, because it is a different shot. Those were literally the exact same shot. Those first 15 minutes with the new Doctor and little Amelia are nothing short of magical. Praying to Santa to fix the crack in her wall. The Doctor climbing out of the wonky TARDIS after a detour in the library / swimming pool. How he's still cooking. He's so wonderfully doctory. Fish fingers and custard. And the show recognition that this is not right. Where's her parents? What is the crack? or the, I'm sorry, and the slow recognition that this is all not right.
Yeah.
Where's her parents? What's the crack? The design, the colors, it's beautiful. It's
Yes, the colors and the high def and the design, so good.
Yeah, I said when Planet of the Dead happened where that is technically in high def, but it still looks very different than it does in this story.
In this story, yeah.
And the budget, if anything, is less than it was then.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, these colors are great.
She says, this is her Doctor Who happy place. Prisoner Zero / the Atraxi are a bit meh. There you are, Cody.
Boom.
The mismatch... the mismatch between speech and their form is great, though. It's like when they have multiple mouths and screw it up all the time.
Yeah.
But then this is not about the monster, but the Doctor and Amy. Amy is the brilliant bullshit, and I love that the people in the village recognize the Doctor as her Raggedy Man, which you mentioned, Alex, the fact that this town's so small that everyone knows about her imaginary friend.
Yeah. Well, and the shot of her bedroom showing all the dolls she's created.
All the stuff she's made over the years.
Yeah.
It says, it's full of energy, the Doctor quite literally running through the episode before flipping and strutting around that roof, being all like, yeah, fellas, I'm the Doctor, run. And then the Doctor's reunion with the redecorated TARDIS and the look of love and joy on his face when he walks in and notices.
Sexy.
Yeah, calls it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope. She said, then she posts a whole bunch of pictures and says, oh God, I love it. I so hope you guys love it too. Cody, do you love it?
I fucking love it.
Yeah, we love and agree with everything you just said.
Then she says, oh, I'm going to go watch it right now. and then tweets back an hour later saying... Oh, and I was thinking, as I did just watch it, there's been references before to companions' lives after the Doctor has left them, like with Sarah Jane in School Reunion.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't quite literally the same, but a look at how Amy's life is impacted by her encounter with the Doctor and how quite, you know, just those 12 years, even though she only met him one time as a child, and how it is like so impacted her life. And then that, you know, the extra 2 years.
Four psychiatrists.
Well, and the crazy stuff that she saw in that little time with the Doctor as a child, like that would,
and it's something anything. That you saw it. Yeah. You fucking
like,
saw it,
and people are gonna sit there and be like, "Nah, that didn't happen." You're like, because she bit her psychiatrist,
right?
It's, so good.
Does the rickety Doctor get brought up throughout the season?
It's a name she continues to call him,
yeah.
Because she's literally known him her whole life, just like Madame de Pompadour said when the Doctor shut up, Cody. Just like Madame de Pompadour says when she is reintroduced to the Doctor as an adult, I've known you my entire life, and he's like, oh, I suppose. Amelia is the same way. She has lived her entire life with the knowledge of the Doctor, even though it was one late night, you know, maybe he was there for an hour. I then said to Mrs. J, I just noticed this on this watch, I think. Amy's face, when she runs after him when he goes to the TARDIS after they've already defeated the Atraxi or gotten the Atraxi to leave. Amy in that moment looks completely devastated. She sees the TARDIS leave again.
Again, after 12 years.
And just Karen Gillan does such a good job in that moment. And she...
The single tear, right?
She just looks... No, she's just like staring at it and is just like... Like mad and sad, and then she just like closes her eyes and is just like, "Fuck." That's all we got for a tweets.
I love it.
Oops.
Thank you, Mrs. J.
Thanks,
Mrs. J.
Always.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can tweet us at Married to Who Pod on Twitter, or you can message us at Married to Who on Instagram, or if you want to send us an email, you can do that at marriedtowho@gmail.com. Finally, we're going to guess what the next story is about. Based on the title and the writer, it's another Stephen Moffat. And the title is The Beast Below.
Ooh.
Fuck, there's a beast that's underneath.
Underneath is it, what?
Is it a callback to the crab people in that one?
Oh, the Macra?
The Macra?
The Macra. Yeah. It's hard because they were shooting through time, so it's hard to say what they're below.
Well, that's what we're doing, is we're improvising a story.
Okay, yeah.
What you got?
They're going back in time.
Where are
they? Rolling the dice on that one.
Where so are still they? Earth, but back in time.
It's Earth, back in time.
Back in time.
Okay.
So they're going back in time.
Where was Rose's first trip in the TARDIS?
London?
No, it was the year 5 billion, the end of the world. Where was Martha's first trip in the TARDIS?
5 billion.
New Earth.
New Earth.
Future.
Again.
They're going forward in time. They're going forward in time.
Where was Donna's first one?
Fuck you.
I can't remember.
No, I can't either.
No, her first one was Fires in Pompeii.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So they went back.
Back in time. For yeah.
I was trying to set...
Righteous indignation. That one's a hard one. So they're going to a castle, and the castle is experiencing problems. Like, I don't know, people are getting kidnapped, or they're going missing.
Ooh.
Or something.
Missing persons.
Missing persons.
In the future.
In a castle.
In a castle.
Space castle.
Space castle. Space okay. Castle.
I don't want it to be in the future. Like, something tells me it's not in the future, though. Fuck you.
So a ground castle.
It's probably in the future.
Sammy, I think you want to holler from the door with the baby?
The beast below. I'm kind of like getting a Satan's Pit feel to it.
Okay.
Something similar. That's all I got. I don't know.
Satan's Pit thing.
I also think it's in the future.
Nice.
I'm going to say one thing. Cody's crazy close.
Oh. How were we? How were we last week? I don't remember
nowhere
what we said.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, that's not quite
right. It's a
time
it's
crunch.
It's a show about
it
time.
Was a time crunch, and I said time crunch.
Boom.
MVP.
I feel bad.
MVP. Fucking Stephen Moffat. I'm leaving. It's Stephen Moffat. It's Stephen Moffat for you. It's Stephen Moffat for Jake. It's Stephen Moffat for Sam. Bye.
No, it's Matt Smith. For
yeah,
me.
I'm giving it to Matt Smith.
Fuck. Matt Smith is really
Matt
good.
Smith.
Yeah.
No.
We win.
Actually, no, did I say Stephen Moffat? I'm sorry. I met Karen Gillan.
Okay. All
right. Paper Cup with you song. This has been Married to Who's episode on 11th Hour. Again, please join us on our social medias at Married to Who Pod on Twitter, at Married to Who on Instagram, and you can email us at marriedtowho@gmail.com. On behalf of me, Jake, Alex, Sam, Cody, and Jill in the future, thank you for listening, and please join us next time for the 11th. Nope, this was the 11th hour. Please join us next time for The Beast Below.
Okay, put this baby in the car seat.
Yo.
Yeah, that sounds real good.
Welcome to the late night.
Can we just pod?
Married
like
to
that?
Who podcast.
Yeah.
Where we get down and dirty with our doctors.
God.
Find
the guy's
okay.
Wife is gone for like an hour. Just gets so horny.